Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to have you all here in the house this morning. I'm looking forward to bringing God's word this morning. But can I just say, Nuala, well done. Great job. And you know what? I want to go to Glasgow. I think I'll pass for a 15-year-old. What do you think? you know, wouldn't it be great to go? And what an opportunity for our youth to go and to, you know what, to learn all of this stuff about ganglands and all that that involves, you know. So, so good stuff. Great stuff going on in the house. Good job, Jay. It's not an easy thing getting up here to deliver, let me tell you. This is not an easy gig in this house to stand up here and to talk. But Jay is only new to this, and well done, Jay, this morning. Amen. Amen. The Lord gave me a word for the house this morning. And just before I get into it, you know what? Sometimes in life we can go through life on autopilot. You know, where you just go through the motions. You can get up every morning, you take a shower, you can comb your hair, you brush your teeth. You know, you do the normal mundane routine, like you go to work, you bring the kids to school, or you might even go to the gym. And it's the normal mundane thing that we do as human beings. But you know what? Autopilot is also like being on cruise control. And if you have the privilege of having a car that has a cruise control button in it, I believe it's a piece of cake. Because all you do is you flick the switch and you sit back and that car is programmed just to glide along the motorway. And you know what? I don't have one of those buttons in my car, but I'd love one. But, you know, life can be like that where you're just going by on cruise control. And as Christians, sometimes we're on autopilot. And sometimes we go through seasons where we're just lukewarm. And you're there, but you're not really there. Spiritually, you're not really here. But in the physical, you're here. And for the next 25 to 30 minutes, I want to ask everybody in the house, to switch off autopilot. And that means taking control of your thoughts here this morning. That means asking Jesus to come and say, Lord, align my thoughts with your thoughts this morning. Lord, switch off this autopilot button that's going on right now in my head. So if everybody could do that in the spiritual, because that's what it's going to take. It's not a natural thing. You have to do it in the spiritual. So Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord God. I thank you for every person that's here this morning, Lord. I thank you for every family, every representative that's part of Liberty Community Church. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that you switch off that autopilot button, that you switch it off right now in mindsets, Father God. And before I get into the word, I just want to show you a picture from my archives. And I think the guys have it on the screen. Okay. That was me about a year ago when I went on a diet. Don't I look good? But you know what? This sets the foundation. This morning I want to talk about Ezekiel 37. And it's a well-known scripture. We know it well. And I want to bring what God had put on my heart for the house this morning. And I believe God wants to grab hold of this house this morning. And I believe he wants to grab hold of everyone in this house, young, old, babies, whatever. God wants to come and grab hold of every single person in this house this morning. Okay, just let me get my notes. Okay, the guy that I'm going to talk about is Ezekiel. And this is a well-known prophet. And he was born into the priesthood. And at the age of 25, he was among the Jews who were taken into captivity under the siege of the Assyrian and the Babylonian army. And at the age of 30, Ezekiel began to act out of his calling. When he was called as a prophet, he began then to act out of that calling. And throughout the book of Ezekiel, if you've never read it, it's a great read. And maybe make that part of your homework this week. In that book, Ezekiel has amazing, amazing times with God. And he gets to experience many visions and he gets to experience a lot of prophecies and prophesying to the nation of Israel. You know, his job as prophet was to go around. And he went around and he prophesied to the people. He would go and he would deliver words. Sometimes they would be good words and sometimes they would be not so good words. It wasn't an easy job that he had. But Ezekiel was obedient and he went and he prophesied to the people. And sometimes the people would listen. And it says in Ezekiel, I actually read out the Message Bible today. I will be reading out the Message Bible. And it says in Ezekiel 37 that the people would come and the people would listen to him. And it says that sometimes the people would come and he was known as an entertainer. And the people would applaud him when he would prophesy. And the people would come from the town and they would meet on the street corners and in front of their houses and they would say, let's go and hear what God has to say. Let go hear the latest news that God has to say. And they would show up and they would attend like we are attending here this morning. And they would sit and they would listen. And they loved to hear Ezekiel talk. But they would do nothing about what they heard. And how often have we come? How often have we sat? How often have we listened? How often have we heard the word of God being spoken from this pulpit? And how often have we not made changes to our own lives? When Ezekiel was prophesying to the people in Israel, he began to become hopeless. Because when he was prophesying, he saw no change. And although he was obedient to God, he didn't see change coming in people. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to read from the first line of Ezekiel 37. And this is the first point that I want to bring out this morning. And it says that God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain, strewn with bones. He led me around, and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. And I love the opening line of that scripture. And this is what God did. God went and he grabbed Ezekiel. And he bent down and he grabbed him up. And it's like as if he took him by the scruff of the neck. And he took him up into the Spirit of God. And that's what God wants to do here this morning. God wants to grab. Because when God grabbed Ezekiel up, he grabbed him up out of the crowd. Because Ezekiel was down in the crowd and he couldn't see the vision of God. But when God went down and grabbed him, he took him up to new heights and he showed him the vision. And that's what God wants to do here this morning. He wants to grab people and he wants to grab you up and he wants to show you the vision. So what God did was he took him up out of the crowd and he wanted to re-envision and refocus Ezekiel back on his plan. So this morning, the first point is elevate. God wants to elevate you up in this house this morning. He wants to take you. And if you are in a place where you're dried up, God wants to elevate you. He wants to take you up in his spirit here this morning. I think that's good news. And what I would ask today is, whose hand is upon your life? Whose hand is upon your life? Or what hand is upon your life today? Is it people? Is it people that you do life with? Is their hand upon you? Is a financial debt where you can see no way out? Is it a relationship with your wife or with your husband? Or is it TV? Are you so consumed with watching TV that you've lost focus of God? Is it your career? Have you been sucked in by your career that you just can't see what God has for you? Or is it your family where the chaos of what family can bring, you get so sucked up in that you've lost the focus and lost the plan of God. You see, Ezekiel was lifted up out from the crowd. And maybe God is saying here this morning, it's time. It's time for you to be elevated up. And whether you're coming to this house once, twice, three or four times a week, you can recommit. You can recommit back here today. Because when you recommit, you receive a lifting up. You see, God will elevate you up because he'll bring you into an environment of believers where you'll gather strength, where you'll gather courage, where you will become one of spirit, where we will gather and be a unit. You see, when Ezekiel stayed down in the crowd, he couldn't see the vision of God. He couldn't see the plan of God. And sometimes when we stay down in the crowd, we can begin to murmur. We can begin to complain. We can begin to become disgruntled. We can begin to become fed up, because that's what happened with Ezekiel. He got fed up with the people when they didn't respond. And we can begin to get fed up. We can get fed up with the things of this house. We can get fed up with the worship. We can get fed up with the preaching in this house. We can even get fed up with the color of the carpet on the floor. Whose hand or what hand is upon you today? Because I believe God wants to show you the bigger picture. So get elevated. Get lifted up. Do you remember when you were a kid and you'd go into a shopping center or a hotel and there would be an escalator and you'd want to jump onto the escalator because you wanted to see what was on the top? Or you wanted to see what was over the top. Well, God is saying here today, step onto the elevator. Step into it and let me show you what's at the top of this vision. And maybe you're saying, well, that's easier said than done. You don't know what's going on in my life. You haven't a clue about the problems that are in my life. And no, I don't. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life here. You know, maybe you have a troubled teenager. Or maybe you're living with an abusive partner. And maybe you're just fed up that this God is doing nothing in your life. And God would say, have you tried praying to me? Have you actually come and spent time praying to me about that situation? Have you tried coming to the Thursday night prayer meeting that's in this house 3 times of the month and 1 week off? Have you come to this house? Have you come to the prayer meeting? You see, this is where you'll draw strength. That's what God says. Because I'll bring you into a people, a crowd of believers, where they will elevate you, where they will lift you up, where they will help you to see through your problems. Because my spirit is in them. And when my spirit is in them, you will connect to my spirit. You know, as Christians, we can come into this house and we can do church Sunday to Sunday. And that's great. That's brilliant. If you just want to be entertained. If you just want to come here as a social gathering. That's fine if that's what you want to do. But you won't be lifted up. God won't elevate you up. Because the problems that you have in your marriage. The problems that you have with your financial debt. You're not going to be able to see beyond what I have for you. Or maybe you're saying, I'm just fed up. I'm just fed up. I hear the word of God on a Sunday morning, but I don't get it. I don't get the word of God here on a Sunday morning. Have you tried going to a link group? We have link groups all over the city on a Wednesday night. And God would say, get into a link group. Get into an environment of people, of believers, where they will lift you up. Where you will read of my word, where you will eat of my word, where you will digest of my word, where you learn of my word. And when you learn of my word, you will become elevated up. A woman said to me last week outside, she said, you're an inspiration. You know, and I was flattered. But you know what? I didn't just land here, and I'm still not here. But I said to the girl, you know what? I'm only here because I watched and I observed. I watched other people in my Christian walk and I wanted what they had. And the only way I could get that was to sign up to God's plan and to sign up to the Tuesday morning prayer meeting, to sign up to the Tuesday night link group, to sign up to a life group. Whatever it took, I was prepared to put into my life what God wanted for me to see beyond the vision. And he's saying the same today. If you want to be an inspiration, if you feel... You can be an inspiration. You can be an inspiration in this house. And the second point I want to bring out this morning is about hope. You see, when we're lifted up into God's Spirit, He will always set you back down. And Ezekiel was brought up into the vision, but God didn't leave him up there. You see, God had to bring Ezekiel back down. And sometimes as Christians, what we do is we want to be left up in the cloud. And we want to run to every Christian meeting and every Christian conference. And we want to get comfortable and we want to get cozy. And we just want to stay in the presence of God. But you know what? When there's a lifting up, there's always a coming back down. There's always a coming back down. And you see, God is saying here, He wants to set you back down into your valley. Into your valley that needs your attention. You see, after God elevated Ezekiel, He didn't place him back down into paradise. He didn't place him into Hawaii. No, He placed him in the middle of a graveyard where he walked back and forth and back and forth. And when He placed him in that graveyard, all there was a valley. There was a valley of dry bones. There was bones where the marrow was dry. There was bones that were long dead. There was bones that were old, that were chipped and that were cracked and far beyond the reach of restoration. I'm going to take off the sweat. Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. And this is what God said to Ezekiel. And it's in line 3. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Master God, only you know that." He said to me, "Prophesy. Prophesy over these bones. Dry bones, listen to the message of God." God the Master told the dry bones, "Watch this." He said, "I'm bringing life. I'm bringing breath to you that will come to life. I'll attach sinew to you. I'll attach me to your bones and I'll cover you with skin and I will breathe life into you. You'll come alive. You'll come alive and you'll realize that I am God." I prophesied, Ezekiel said. He prophesied just as he'd been commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And oh, there was a rustling. And the bones began to move. And there was a shaking in the earth. And the bones began to rattle. And then the bones moved and the skin began to stretch over them. And Ezekiel, when God asked the question to him, "Can these bones live?" I'm sure in Ezekiel's head he was thinking, "Okay, I'm in a valley. I'm up to my ankles in a valley of dried bones. I'm in a valley full of debt. And Lord, you're asking me, can these bones live?" And you know, in his head, I'm sure he was saying, "There's no way these bones can live." Because I know if it was me, I'd be saying, "Are you off your head, God? There's no way these bones can live." But you know what? God knew the answer. He knew the answer. And you know, for Ezekiel, I don't think he was having a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible action plan ready. You know, when he looked out at that sea, all he could see was a sea of debt. And I began to think about this. And I began to think about if there was an accident out on the road outside and there was a body lying on the ground and the body was motionless, we would probably try and revive that body. We would probably try and get that person to live. And we would probably try and do CPR. But you know what? If there was a skeleton lying out there, I don't think we would even consider giving it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Because we would be looking at that and we'd be saying, "No, you're dead. You're dead. You're brown bread. You're dead." You know? And this is what Ezekiel saw when he looked out into the valley. He saw just death beyond him. There was no hope. But God asked the question. God asked the question. And God knew the answer. But he wasn't teasing Ezekiel. That's not what God does. But what God was doing was, he was asking Ezekiel, "What are you believing for? What is it that you're believing for, Ezekiel? What do you believe is possible? And the same question applies here today. What are you believing for today in this house? I believe God wants to grab everybody in this house today. Everybody. You know, and if you feel like a spiritual corpse here, if you feel dried up, your bones are cracked, you feel weary, you feel scorched by the heat of life, that you've no desire to read your Bible, you've no desire to fellowship, you've no desire even to pray. What are you believing for today? That's the question. What are you believing? Are you coming here to be entertained? Or do you believe that there's truth in God's word? Do you believe that there's power in God's word? Do you believe that there's power that God can change that situation that you're in today? Or do you just believe truth? Do you just pick this Bible up and just believe that it's just truth? Or do you believe that there's power in this word? And that's what God would say. You see, no matter how dried up we are, no matter how deep we are in sin, God can restore. And that's the good news here today. God can restore you. God can restore life through you here today. If you're dried up, God can restore you. And what appears hopeless in your life, what appears dead, God put Ezekiel in a valley full of dried bones. But nothing is impossible to God. Nothing is too hard for him. And this is the third point. When God speaks, there is power. There is power when God speaks. And when he instructed Ezekiel to preach to dry bones, it would seem in the natural eye like it was a waste of time. Just imagine walking up Thomas Street and seeing a preacher standing on a box. And he's preaching his heart out to a bunch of skeletons. You would probably think he's off his head. He's a madman. He needs to be locked up in Grange Gorman or whatever. He's definitely lost. Those skeletons, they're dead. They're dead. There's no life in them. But sometimes, as the church, we forget. We forget the incredible power of God. We have prophesied in this house. We have prophesied out on these streets. And sometimes we forget the power of God. We forget that the power of God transforms lives. Our very own team in this house, the Treasure Exchange, have gone up to Thomas Street and prophesied over people. They've spoken and they've prophesied and they've prayed life into people whose arms were disfigured. A woman that was partially blind could see again. And this is what this house does. This is our team in this house that have gone out, that have answered the call, like Ezekiel. They've gone out and they've brought the Spirit of God. They've acted in the Spirit. They were flown in the Spirit. The scene of the Valley of Dry Bones is a picture of the church today. And every part of the body of Christ should line up, because God is saying, listen. This is what God is saying. You don't just need a bone. You need a sinew. And you don't just need a sinew. You need a muscle. And you don't just need a muscle. You need skin. And you don't just need skin. You need breath. And when you start to pull it all together, God says, I will work with you in the same direction. I'll begin to move through you, says God. Are you hearing the word of the Lord this morning? Are you hearing what God is saying in the house this morning? You see, the enemy will come, and one of the biggest lies that he will tell you is, you are not significant in this house. You are not significant, that we don't care about you, that you're just a number in this house, that all we want is bums on seats. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say that, but I did. But you know, the enemy will come, and the enemy will say, all they're looking for is your money. All they're looking for to do is to squeeze the last breath of life out of you. That's the lies of the enemy. That's what the enemy will say. And if that's what the enemy is saying, where are we here this morning? Why do we give up our Sunday morning and come to this house? You know, when we grow bigger as a church, which we will, we don't want anybody getting lost in the crowd. That's why it's important to get connected. Stay involved. Stay elevated up. Because when you're missing, there's a part of the body of Christ missing from here on a Sunday morning. You know, Paul wrote in Corinthians 12:12, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. You see, the gifts that you bring to this house is significant. And we want those gifts. We want your gifts. We want your talents. We want your treasures. We want everything that you have to give. We want you to be a part of this house. And when that enemy comes and he tells you you're significant, insignificant, now you tell him, no, I'm significant. I am significant. That's why we're here. We're here for this nation. We're here to bring hope. Hope for the hopeless. That's why we're here. You know, when Jesus spoke, things happened. And it tells in the Bible that Jesus, when he cleansed the lepers, things happened. Immediately, the lepers were cleansed. They were clean. When he said to the man, get up and walk, the man hadn't walked for 38 years. And the man got up and the man walked. When Jesus spoke, there was power. And when we speak in this house, we are significant as people. When we speak God's truth, there's power in what we speak. And that's why we, the church, are significant to release the power and the spirit throughout this land. That's why we have the treasure exchange going up to Thomas Street. That's why we have them connecting with the people up there. Because our nation is hopeless. And we are the ones in this house that brings hope out to our nation. And I'm finishing soon. When Ezekiel prophesied, when all the bones came together, and you can just picture the scene. When I was studying this, I began to think, gosh, there must have been bones flying over his head and all, you know, bones looking for the right body part. Because you see, God is a God of order. And what he did in that valley was he brought all those bones to the right order where they were with the right part. But there was something missing from the bones. Does anybody know what was missing from the bones? The breath of God was missing. And in verse 9 it says, son of man, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath, God the Master says, come from the four winds. Come, breath, breathe on these slain bodies. Breathe life. So I prophesied just as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came alive. They came alive. The valley that was dead, now they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. And then God said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Listen to what they're saying. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There's nothing left of us. Therefore, prophesy. Tell them, God the Master says, I'll dig up your graves and bring you out alive, O my people. Then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel, where I'll dig up graves and bring you out as my people. You'll realize that I am God. I'll breathe my life into you and you will live. Then I lead you straight back to your land and you'll realize that I am God. I have said it, I have declared it, and this is the word of God. God will breathe life into you, into his people here this morning. He causes the spiritually dead to hear. He causes the spiritually dead to hear. And he breathes again. He will transform you. Whatever your situation is here this morning, God will transform you here. You see, when God transforms, he gives spiritual life so we become soldiers in his army. That we rise up out of the crowd, because that's what God is saying. Rise up out of the crowd and see things the way God sees things. If you've ever made a jigsaw puzzle and you get so far in the jigsaw puzzle, let's say there's 1,000 pieces in the jigsaw puzzle and there's one piece missing. And what you do is you upheaval the house to find that little piece of the jigsaw puzzle. Because that piece is so significant. That piece fits in the right place where it's supposed to fit. And it completes the whole picture. And that's the same for the body of Christ. When you're missing, there's something missing out of this house. When you're not here, there's something missing out of this house. We are not complete as a people. You see, what the enemy wants to do, he wants to come and he wants to scatter the people of God. He wants to scatter us everywhere. They don't care about you. But when we as the people of God come together, when we come as a church, when we come together and preach God's truth, when we meet as God's people, there is power. There is power when we come and meet as God's people. Because what happens is God causes a rattling. God causes the clinking and the clanking of bones to come together. Because when we come, we're one. We are the army of God. There's a whole lot of shaking going to take place when we come together. But you know, there are some people here today, and they do a pretty good job covering up their dry bones. And there's some of you that your marriages are dry. There's some of you that your marriages are barren. There's some even here that your bank account is so dry. And you're saying, God, why is my bank account dry? Well, maybe you need to get up and get a job. Maybe you need to pray more. Maybe you need to come into alignment with God's will. Some of us in this house have health problems. And some of us are praying, but we're not really praying. We're not really praying the power of God's healing into our lives. Some of us are fed up, and some of us are worn out, and we've lost sight of the vision because we've got sucked in with the crowd. Whatever your situation is today, God can elevate you. God can breathe life in you today. God can elevate you up again to show you his vision. When we come to the Lord, he breathes into us the breath of life. When we come, you're not coming to me. I'm only the messenger here today. But when you come, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. When you come, God will breathe breath into you. When God breathes breath, when God breathes his breath, there's power in it. The power in the breath of God. You see, when God breathed the breath upon the valley of dry bones, the wind came from the four corners of the earth. And an army rose up. An army stood up. And God is saying the same today for the church. God wants to breathe his breath on you today. And I'm going to ask us all to stand. God wants to breathe life upon you here today. God wants to breathe life into your situation here today. If you have a teenager that's off the wall, God wants to breathe life into that situation today. If you have a marriage here today that's barren, that's dried up, God wants to breathe his life into you today. If you're fed up of being a Christian, fed up coming Sunday to Sunday, God wants to breathe his breath in you today. God wants to breathe breath. God wants to pour out his power upon his people here today. And what we're going to do is we're going to prophesy as the people of God. And we're going to call the four winds to come from the four corners of the earth. We're going to ask the wind. The wind is the Holy Spirit of God. The wind is the Holy Spirit that will revive you, that will pour life into you, that will transform you in this house today. And the front is open and you can come and you can wait on the wind. You can come and you can wait on the power of God. And when you come, it's an acting out of faith. Don't stay in that place. Don't stay there. Oh, this is only truth. You've got to step out. You've got to step out and believe that there's power. There's power in this message today, people. There's power in the message of dry bones coming back together. And God's calling back his church today. And God is saying, I will prophesy over the people of Liberty. I breathe life into you today. I call you back from the four corners of the earth. I call my power upon you, my people. I will restore you. I will heal you. You that is barren in this place today, I will heal you. I will rise you up again, says the power of God. I will rise you up again, says the power of God. I will rise you up. I will rise you up. You will be my people. And I will be your God, declares our God in heaven. I will be your God. I will be your God. We're going to go into worship. And I invite you to come. Come and receive the power. I don't have the power. I don't have it. I'm only the messenger. But you've got to call on the power here today. You've got to call it. Let's worship.